to Hans for the IASB's chairman report.
Thank you, Michel. You are used to my starting to tell you that we had yet another slight delay in finishing certain standards. But I'm happy to tell you that since our last meeting in May, we actually completed two major standards, IFRS 9 and revenue recognition. I discussed the substance of the standards in detail, so I'm not going to do that here. Michel already said for both standards, we have set up transition resource groups to ensure smooth implementation of these very important standards. Essentially, the TRGs are a public forum for stakeholders to learn from each other and from us how to implement the standards. And we anticipate and we have already experienced that most of the questions can be dealt with in an informal way during those meetings. And if something really tricky comes up, then it can be elevated to the boards. We need an a TRG for IFRS 9 because not so much because of, let's say, classification and measurement, but especially for the new expected loss model, because the expected loss model entails a lot of judgment and can be challenging to put into practice. So we formed a TRG on that. Regulators are also on board. First meeting still needs to take place. What is also important to mention is that on April the 9th, the Financial Stability Board will organize a roundtable in Basel to promote consistency in application of the financial standards and the FESB, and I think Jim Schnorr is also going to be there. For revenue recognition, we have a joint transition resource group with the FESB, which also has been able to deal with quite a few questions. I think it's fair to say that especially in the United States, there are quite a few questions in the market, especially among the auditors. And I think that can be explained to a larger extent that while we come from a background in which the standards gave very little guidance and the new standards gives a lot more, so people tend to be pretty happy with that. The United States comes from a background where there was a lot of detailed rules, lots of application guidance, and the new standard is more principle-based, so gives less detailed guidance. So it's not surprising that there are more questions there. The two main questions that are lying on the table now focus on licenses and the identification of performance obligations. We hope that it will be possible to iron out some of these problems in a joint meeting that the FESB and the ISB will have in February. I think it's also fair to say that it is not clear whether we will come to completely converged solution here. We are very hesitant. First of all, we don't hear a lot of calls for change from our constituents in the IFRS part of the world. And we're also very hesitant to open up a newly issued standard. You know, would almost be like could become a pre-implementation review. So the outcome is a bit unclear at this moment. It could be that, you know, the FESB comes up with more detailed solutions and that we say, well, we don't feel that we need so much detail, but let's add a little bit of application guidance to our standard, but not so much, but probably the outcome is going to remain converged. That could be an outcome. It remains to be seen. Ian is leading the TRG from our part. We'll see how it goes. In itself, the boards are working together very well. 2015 is going to be a very challenging year. We will finish two controversial standards, leases and insurance. leases is technically not so difficult, but politically intricate standard, to put it mildly. Insurance is both technically extremely challenging, and it's also a politically sensitive standard with huge vested interests in the insurance industry. Once these standards are out of the way, then I really think that we could face a period of relative calm, because then we have fixed the big problems, and then there's still a lot of work to do in terms of improving our standards, but hopefully they will be a little bit less sensitive than these standards. Leases is almost done. We'll finish our joint deliberations with the FESB in February. It's a very important standard. It's my firm conviction that current lease accounting does not give a true and fair picture of economic reality, so that needs to be changed. We are converged with the FESB on the main issues. We are converged on the balance sheet. We are converged on the definition of a lease, what is the difference with the service, and we're also converged on the measurement of the liability, of the lease liability. Unfortunately, we are not converged on the impact of the standard on the income statement. We have a single lease model which requires a split between interest and amortization of the lease asset, and the FESB has a dual model where they have a straight line income statement for operating leases. I will not get into the technical detail, but that's roughly what it is. We discussed this at the latest ASEF meeting. You can show you how useful it can be. I asked Russ at that point, Russ Golden, my American colleague, is there any chance that we could get a converged solution, which is another solution than the American solution? And he made it very clear that was not the case. So most likely we will remain not converged on this issue. We will soon produce a paper. I had a very interesting meeting with the new EFRAC board in Europe, where this came up as well. And we will produce a paper in which we will analyze the difference between the two models and the differences in costs of implementation. We think the differences in costs are actually pretty small, but there is a lot of noise around that. Overall, the majority of our constituents support our model as they consider it to be the conceptually stronger one. We also promise you, especially given the sensitivity of the standard, we will provide you with a state-of-the-art effect analysis. But the economic effects, the costs, etc., etc. In insurance, there's only one big issue that is, remains unsolved. That is participating contracts. These are mixed investment insurance products in which the insurance company shares his profits with his clients. Usually the client gets about 90% and the insurance company takes 10% for himself. And the big question is how to account for the insurer's own share. Do you see it as a financial instrument or part of the insurance contract? We have had a very good meeting with the insurance industry, and we have taken the last couple of months to really think about it, to ask more questions to the industry. We are now ready to move on and to develop concrete proposals on this issue. I think it's fair to say that we will be able to address many of the concerns of the insurance industry, not all, but many, and I have a very positive feeling that we will be able to bring this to a good end. We want to finish our deliberations before the summer break, and then write the standard in the second half of the year. Finally, some words on the conceptual framework. As you know, that sets out the concepts that underlie the preparation and presentation of financial statements. We expect to publish the exposure draft in the first quarter of this year, with a comment period of 150 days. When we started it, I pledged that we would try to finish it in 3 years. It may be three, everybody thought I was crazy, and it would, like all our projects, it would become 10 years. It may be 3 years and 3 months, but we're going to get it done in a very reasonable time. some important issues are going to be discussed, what is the background of other comprehensive income. We'll develop some high-level principles for measurement. We also, in one of the recent meetings, we specifically looked at the question, which I know was very important to Europe, whether our decisions on measurement and on profit or loss and other comprehensive income, if they were not detrimental to long-term investment. So we devoted a paper and a discussion to that issue, and we came to the conclusion that the conceptual framework contains sufficient material to address appropriately the needs of long-term investors in a reporting entity. Finally, when the ED, as it will come out, it will give again a proper place to the principle of stewardship, which is one of the essential principles of accounting, and it was a bit submerged in our existing conceptual framework, and we will also reintroduce prudence as the exercise of caution in conditions of uncertainty. This brings me to the end of my introduction, Chairman, and I will be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Hans. Any questions on this report?
If I may just take advantage of my position as Monitoring Board Chair. Again, the Monitoring Board, of course, is responsible for oversight of the governance of the foundation as exercised by the trustees, and therefore will not directly intervene in the content of the standard setting. But at the same time, we are very much interested in the fact that the due process is followed in each and every step of the standard setting process, and that the standard setting process is conducted with proper and inclusive stakeholder input, and that, of course, due diligence is exercised in the bodies that work on the process of standard setting, including those subsidiary bodies that have been created for ensuring consistency of implementation. From this viewpoint, I would first, of course, like to commend Hans and the ISB for the recent efforts made to further enhance the capacity of the board and be efficient in the development of those standards. And certainly would like to commend the accomplishments have been made in recent months. At the same time, I think it is fair to say that the Monitoring Board remains interested and somewhat concerned in the ability of those standards to be converged between ISB and FASB. And if I may put this in the form of a question, can I interpret your general explanation as implying that in areas in which it is possible and to the extent possible, you are ready to work with the FASB on further convergence whenever or wherever it is possible? Now, recently the FSB, the Financial Stability Board, also made a call first, of course, encouraging further convergence of the standards, but at the same time to be mindful of the objective of achieving a single set of high-quality global accounting standards as being the longer-term objective. Now, whether you think this is, realistically speaking, still an objective that you as a standard setter have in mind in your day-to-day work?
Well, I think that's a fair question. There have been successes and there have been failures. Revenue recognition was until now a big success, and I hope it will remain so. We'll have to see. Financial instruments was a standard where we had converged positions on impairment, on classification and measurement, and I forget the third one.
Hedging.
No, not hedging. Well, there was a third one. And then, oh yes, the very important, the netting of derivatives, or the not netting of derivatives. Ultimately, the FESB decided to more or less stay with current practice in the United States, so we, from converged, we ended up diverged. I think it's also fair to say, I think I should say this. The atmosphere has changed. In the last 5 years, there was in the beginning a very strong joint ambition to be as converged as possible. What has changed in the last 3 years is that our colleagues from, and I hesitate to say that because they are not here, but I will just stick to what they have said in public. What they have said in public is we still believe in the very long-term future in a single set of global standards, but for the foreseeable future, convergence is the best we can get. And our role as American standard setter is to first look at the necessities of the American market, and secondly, to convergence. So it has become a little bit of a secondary goal. And so the whole background in which we cooperated with each other has shifted, and it has not made life easier, I think it's fair to say. And, I'm especially on financial instruments, I think that played a pretty big role. So, yes, the whole ambiance of the cooperation has changed. It has become a bit more difficult. Nonetheless, we were still able to reach complete convergence on a major standard like convergence. But I was, for example, very sorry that we couldn't stay converged on the offsetting of derivatives, which still it's just very unfortunate that an American bank looks 30% smaller than a European bank because they don't have the derivatives on the balance sheet, and it's a very big difference. So that's a bit where we are, and I can't make it prettier than it is.
Thank you for that, and thank you for your very candid observation. Actually, on this question of impairment, of course, you will not find it particularly surprising that our bank regulators certainly continue to be interested and also be concerned with regard to the comparability of the financial statements of those major banks that operate on a global scale. And in fact, you refer to this roundtable that we're going to have on the 9th of April in Basel. This roundtable will certainly focus on impairment in particular, and since I'm asked to chair that meeting, I would certainly like to make it a useful venue to discuss this further at the level of the FSB. I'm told that FASB intends to attend this meeting, so I hope we can have some useful interactions around this roundtable and maybe consider what usefully we can do from the regulator side. And in fact, if I may, I have our Monitoring Board Observer from the Basel Committee, Rune van Wijk, with us today. I don't know what you can mention at this stage in your work, but the Basel Committee has been taking an interest in this issue of comparability of standards around impairment, and they have been actually quite concerned by the apparent lack of comparability that this difference could entail. Now, I may not be being entirely fair to you who have been really probably suffering over this for many years, but would René like to give us some of your maybe an update on your work at the Basel Committee?
Thank you, Marcel. And I just want to say and make it very clear that we've had very good interactions with the ISB Answers team. And so I actually feel for you. I was at meetings with the FASB, and it's pretty clear that convergence is not the priority. So it's not through a lack of trying on your side. But from a Basel Committee perspective, obviously the effect on capital must be assessed, and until we have the final rule of FASB, only then can we start assessing the different effects it will have on the capital of banks. To the extent that we are able to identify and quantify that difference, we will have to come up with rules that will enable banks to be comparable. What that will be, I don't know. We have formed a working group to start looking at it, but obviously we have to wait for FASB's final accounting standard on impairment. There are fundamental differences, and initial calculations would show that the differences are material, and it will have a material impact on the capital of banks. So that is what the Basel Committee will have to work with during this year. You know, the international banks are shouting at us to say, well, what are you going to do? Because we have to do capital plans and see where we can raise capital if we have to. The market is not exactly helpful for that. So we are under pressure to come up with rules that will enable the banks to understand where their capital position will be and the effect different accounting standards will have. So it is very much work in progress. Obviously, convergence would have helped a lot.
René, does that mean that you're thinking of disclosure requirements?
And so I don't think at this stage I want to say whether it's only disclosure requirements or whether it is capital flaws and impairments. So I think we still have to look at the full spectre of what it means.
Thank you. But before we move to the next item, I just would like to underline the fact that this IFRS 9 thing has been mentioned by Mario Draghi recently, urging for endorsement as soon as possible. So we very much hope that the...
Didn't he say, do whatever it takes?
Okay.